This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and perhaps makes you think a little bit about your relationship with the Lord. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there to contact me, and this program can be re-listened to there as well. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we have survived 2020, I think, and as we say, hindsight is always clearer than foresight, so our hindsight is 2020. 21, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, do we? But if we have come into 2021 healthy and with enough food on the table and without having been in the hospital with this pandemic, we probably are very fortunate. In Iowa, we trust that you were able to avoid the derecho that went through in the summer and the floods that we've had on the West Coast in particular. And so we think about all the things that did happen this year, the unrest politically and other things. And yet we are here to carry on. I would like to believe we're here to carry on for the Lord in 2021. Now, of course, my concern is that there are a lot of people that would claim to be Christians and have celebrated Christmas and then New Year's and have gone through the motions of being what the world would call Christians. But I'm always concerned with whether what the world calls a Christian is what God would call a Christian. And I'm not concerned about that from the standpoint of making everybody conform to my thinking, but I'm concerned about it from the standpoint that only a biblical Christian is ready to meet God. And since we don't know what 2021 holds, we need to be ready to meet God. It just may be our portion to be the ones that get the portion of this pandemic that seems to be so acute. We know a lot of people get it and they don't seem to have very many problems with it, but there are some people that get it and it's almost like another disease, and it could be our portion to get that pandemic. It could be our portion to have a car accident this year. It could be our portion to be diagnosed with cancer or brain tumors or there could be any number of accidents that could happen this year. And so while we don't want to be pessimistic, we want to be optimistic, and we want to go in to the new year expecting good things. Yet we want to make sure, first of all, that we're biblical Christians. And that means that we've had a time in our lives when we faced our sin, when we face the fact that we are on the broad and crowded road that leads to destruction, as it says in Luke chapter 13, and that there are many that go in thereat, and we have a time when we pass from death unto life. We entered by the narrow gate, and we're on the road that leads to heaven, and that comes by salvation and by the new birth. And I'm concerned that we understand that. I'm concerned that we can enter into the truth of John 5 and 24, which says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's a resurrection. And most people know what it's like if they're saved, they know what it's like to receive this new life, this resurrected life, this new life by a new birth. They can say, oh, I see, I understand, I'm confident now that the Bible gives me the assurance that Christ died for me. That's a biblical Christian. And a biblical Christian will have been baptized. And a biblical Christian then will study the Bible from the standpoint not of how they can earn their way to heaven, but they will study the Bible from the standpoint that having been given the gift of eternal life, how can they please the one who has done so much for them? Now, I'm going to go back to the first book of the Bible for the next few programs, depending on how this works out for me. And we're going to look at some questions that I think we ought to be thinking about at this time of the year. It only makes sense to go back to the beginning of the Bible when we come to the beginning of a new year. And there's three questions that we're going to look at. And the first one is found in Genesis 3 and verse 1. And the question is, yea, hath God said? The second question we want to look at is found in Genesis 3 and verse 9, where God speaks to Adam and Eve after they have eaten of the forbidden fruit, and he asks the question, where art thou? That's a question we need to ask ourselves and make application to ourselves during this next year. And then the third question I want to look at is found in Genesis 4 and verse 9, where the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And if you remember, Abel offered a sacrifice that pleased God. Cain did not. And Cain got angry and he murdered his brother because of the fact that his brother had pleased God and he had not. And instead of repenting and pleasing God himself with a proper sacrifice, he destroys the one who he feels has competed with him in terms of his favor with God. And he says, am I my brother's keeper? So those are the three questions. Yea, hath God said? Number two, where art thou? Number three, am I my brother's keeper? We want to look at the first one right now. When we think about what's going on today, the question is really, what is truth? And we know that God had told Adam and Eve that they should not eat of that fruit that was in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We often claim they ate an apple, but obviously they were not told that it is an apple, but it was a fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's interesting that, and I've mentioned this before on this program, that Adam and Eve were only given one commandment. They weren't told about a lot of things that they couldn't do. They weren't given the Ten Commandments. They weren't given all the regulations that we find in Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They weren't given all of that. They weren't even given the Sermon on the Mount that we read in the New Testament. They were only told that they should not eat of that one tree that was in the midst of the garden. And they were like a two-year-old who's told not to touch a hot stove. You got to touch it to find out why you're not supposed to touch it. And of course, the two-year-old learns real quickly why they shouldn't touch a hot stove and probably will not touch it again. Now, that was kind of the way Adam and Eve were. It was actually Eve who the serpent came, the serpent being a picture of the subtleness of Satan himself, came and said to her, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And then he said, if ye eat of that tree, you'll become like gods, knowing good and evil, and you won't surely die. Well, there was some truth to what Satan was saying. And, of course, he kind of twisted what God had told Adam and Eve. You shall not surely die. And when they ate of the fruit, they didn't physically die immediately, but they died spiritually. And sometimes we can't distinguish or don't distinguish between the different interpretations and the applications of what God tells us. But in this particular case, Satan seemed to have insight with regard to the plan of God. And he says to Eve, "Ye shall not surely die." And so the question is, who was telling the truth? And Satan has constantly been there to question the value and the authenticity and the veracity of what God says. Now, there's things in the Bible that I would say are hard for us to understand. We perhaps don't understand the culture, or perhaps we don't understand the time element that's associated with the particular scripture. We perhaps don't understand whether the scripture applies to the Jews, or whether it applies to the Gentiles, or whether it applies to both, or whether it applies to the church. We maybe don't understand the audience. Sometimes the thing we're reading, particularly if it's the Psalms, might apply specifically to the psalmist, but it might have application to others. It might be a principle that we can apply to ourselves. It might be a messianic psalm that applies to the Lord. We have to know our audience. And so we've looked at some of these things as we've gone through the principles of Bible interpretation. And as we've looked at these things, then we have to ask ourselves, how can we know the truth? Because that truth is constantly being questioned by Satan. Many kids have been raised in Christian homes, and they've had young experiences where they've come to know the Lord, and then they go away to college, and Satan uses the academic institution to raise that question, "Yea, hath God said?" And many, many young people lose confidence in the Bible. And they make mistakes in their lives that are very costly because of that. I know we could get into the issue of whether they lose their salvation. If they ever had salvation and were born again, they can't lose that new life in Christ. They become children of God, and you're only born again once. But while others would say, well, they fall away and they lose what they had, I really don't believe that. But they'd still destroy the blessings that they could have had in this life, because they're not enjoying the blessings that God gives them in this current life when they turn away from the Lord and have that question raised, "Yea, hath God said?" And I just want to tell you that the way in which we know what the truth is if we're truly saved, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's Ephesians 1. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And if we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we're told that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. That's John chapter 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself." That is, he won't be speaking about himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so he's not going to be speaking from his own volition. He's not going to speak about the things that he thinks are true. He's going to tell you what God tells him to tell you. And we'll be able to receive that if we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, if we come to the Word of God with an open mind, have not grieved the Holy Spirit, if we're letting the Holy Spirit control us. These truths are all found in the Ephesian epistle. And if we don't quench the Holy Spirit, as we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5. So we need to make sure that we are willing to let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth, and we need to read the Bible with our, if we're truly saved, with a conscience free of sin and a heart open to receive the things of God, and that's the only way we'll know what the truth really is. The truth is going to be found in the scriptures. The truth is not going to be found in philosophy. It's not going to be found in science. There's truth in philosophy. There's truth in science. But the truth that we need for eternity is going to be found in the scripture. And so, folks, we need to depend on what God has said. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened today. Bless our lesson. We thank thee for thy love, and we thank thee for thy salvation in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.